Oh, thank you. It's 5:32. I'll call this study session to order, please. Shonda?
Okay. Tom Moore. Judy O'Connor. Joe Omoasagie. Elaine Palencia. Kyle Patterson. Julian Rappaport. Jane Sprendel. Susan Fowler. Margaret White.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you. Is there any public participation or input? All right, thank you. All right, I need a motion to approve the agenda, please. Second? Do I need all in favor? All in favor? All right, thank you. Agenda's approved. We're meeting here today because of there was some concern on the way the allocation process, the decision process is moving. And I know that I appreciate some people sent in questions and Lynn answered them for us. And I guess I want to start with, I was trying to think of how to run this. And so I think the first thing to start with is the concerns about the allocation process. Susan?
Okay, I just said I would listen before I talked, but you know me. I'm as bad as Julian sometimes. Sorry, Julian. So, you know, there are several things that I think could be done. But one thing that I think frustrated everybody, and I heard people say this last week, was that we got the responses to the questions on May 15th in this board packet, and the responses ran many, many pages. Some of them were relevant, some of them were not. Some of them were almost new proposals. And we were in a position on May 22nd to basically address and approve the requests. So there wasn't enough time between May 15th and May 22nd. Well, I might have gotten it May 10th, but there still wasn't enough time. The meeting was May 15th when we addressed the questions that came. So, yeah, we probably, you know, you're very good about getting things to us at least 5 days ahead of time. So it's not a criticism of staff. It's just the fact of the timeline. And so that short time would suggest that there's a need for some pushback. I think the other thing is that I found myself feeling scattered, and this was the third time I think that we've done it. I think I would feel less scattered if I did a section of the proposals, like system of care or criminal justice or... We had three categories. Now, they don't all fall out equally across the three categories, but it would just seem more relevant if we had three or four people per category as the primary and secondary reviewers. It would mix up the reviewers a little bit because it's been for several years now. Judy and I and Elaine and I, one is primary, one is secondary, and it just feels fairly dispersed when I'm doing it across multiple categories. But if I was looking primarily at things within one group of like materials, proposals, I'm more likely to see, even if I didn't read all of the proposals because I was not the primary or secondary, but I'm more likely to see connections and also maybe non-connections, which are a problem because we've asked the agencies to try and coordinate with each other. And also, you know, we say we want some choice, which that duplication is good, but it depends on how much duplication. So I think the things I didn't like about it this year was the sense that I was reading across too many different issues. And we were presenting it by categories, which I thought was good, but that meant for very intermittent presentation. And then I was concerned about the fact that we weren't asking the questions, I guess, early enough to get concise responses early enough to reach the decisions that we made on May 22nd. Because the staff had to put together this almost by May 16th or 17th. Yeah, and that's I think a significant burden on the staff as well. So I've just said the two things that I thought were problematic.
Sure.
It sounds worse than it. I'm sorry.
Is that okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
It sounds worse than it is. The fact that we're doing it overnight is actually made easier when we're pretty sure we know what you are all thinking about it. And so that's the hard part. If you don't have enough time to be clear with us about what you're thinking, then we can't. I mean, the overnight is not an issue. It's like it's not being absolutely sure how to incorporate what your reactions are. So this is in support of what you've just said.
Okay, I want to make one comment. So one of the things, if we did divide up by system of care, criminal justice, by those categories, and then perhaps the reader at that time sends the questions in rather than wait for the meeting. It's just a thought.
I think if we did it within categories, then I wasn't looking across three categories, I'd be able to formulate some questions earlier. And I did formulate questions earlier, and I sent them in, but I think I was the only one.
But then to follow up and have the staff send those out as soon as we have them. Okay, I think Elaine was next, and then Jane, please.
Well, I just want to come in. I like that idea of staying within a category as long as we get to another category the next year so that we don't just know one thing. And it's true that I discovered a connection very late in the process, which I should have seen, which I would have seen if I had all of my proposals had been within the same category. But there was, you know, one, and I had written all these questions down, which would have been answered if I'd only known about this other program that was doing that, you know, but as she says, it's too dispersed. But as we figure this out, I am very worried about staff time, because when we got the note, I was just saying to Lynn, the number of reports, 931 in a year that they're looking at, I know. And then the 661 or whatever it is for the DD board, I think we need to be careful about what we ask for in terms of not making. I mean, I'm willing to do quite a bit of work on these, you know, so that the staff doesn't have to do that work for me if we have a choice. So.
Thank you. Jane?
So a little bit I had an advantage because I was a new kid on the block, so I got a little slack cut for me. But I learned a lot as far as how I need to analyze them deeper, what to look for, the questions to ask. You know, I did ask Lynn a lot of questions because I was like, do I ask this with everyone? Or, you know, and really she's like, those are great questions. You shouldn't have been ashamed to ask in front of the group. So Lynn and I talked one other day. I don't know if it would be something that would be beneficial. I'd be worried about the time involved in this is, you know, as we're individually reading our category or whatever, which I do like that idea too, you know, we're sending questions. Those can be answered by the agency. You know, we have lots of different grant opportunities for like Rosecrans, Cunningham Children's Home, Boys and Girls Club. I mean, some of these have more than one proposal. So maybe we could say on this night, we have these agencies here, and if there's any questions, right there's a person, and we flat out say, hey, I have a question about this. And I honestly feel it's acceptable if that person doesn't know the answer to say, I personally don't know the answer to that, but I will get back to you by the end of the business day tomorrow. That's just part of politics. I do it all the time in the school board. You know, if I don't know, I just say, hey, I'll check with my superintendent, and I'll get you that information. So that might be an option, but I told Lynn my fear on that is when we have so many agencies, we can't we really can't add any more meetings, but again, I don't know the feasibility of, you know, pushing deadlines, you know, further towards the beginning of the year. That just seems a little scary too. So that's just my thought.
Thank you. Julian?
So I'm not sure what I think about what's been said. I'm not enamored with the solutions. I understand the issues that's being raised. I hope we'll keep talking about it before we decide if we're going to change it. But I have a slightly different problem, which may just be me. So I'm willing to hear what other people think about it, but I've been thinking about this for a while. I am not convinced that the amount of work that we put into this is worth the trouble, because I don't think it makes much difference in the outcome. What do I mean by that? Well, I can predict. I bet the best predictor of the dollars that they're going to get, that each agency is going to get, is what they got last time and what they're asking for. And it's usually, there's very little variation around that. And if you look and see sort of when is there a drastic change, it's usually because the staff has picked up some serious problem that really usually doesn't have anything to do with the substance. It has to do with accounting or reporting or, you know, just not doing, following things properly as expected. Sometimes there are occasions in which there are substantive problems, but those are pretty rare. So I think we spend a lot of time re-describing programs that doesn't really necessarily add up to anything. So I just put that on the table for maybe other people have a different experience of it, but I don't think that the amount of work we're doing at that point is worth what we're doing. So I'd like to think about more productive ways that we could spend our time. And maybe we'll get around to that. So I could make up other things now, but I guess it depends on whether or not anybody else thinks what I just said makes sense to you. If it doesn't, then I don't want to try to figure out how to solve it.
Susan?
Well, it does. And I think one thing that bothered me a bit this year is that we were doing more describing of what was in the packet rather than asking questions. So I may not recall correctly, but I think the first year we did this, we focused on questions we had, not on trying to describe what was already in the packet. And it's easier to describe what's in the packet. It's harder to come up with the questions. But I agree with you, Julian, that the range of funding is somewhere between what's requested and what happened in the past, unless there's a problem, or it's a new program. And we had six new programs this year, and one program that we didn't fund. So, you know, I think that the way in which we discuss the proposals, if it's to simply describe what they say, is not a functional activity. It really should be to say, this is a proposal we've funded for a long time. Here are some questions I have. I don't have any concerns about the quality of the program, but I really don't understand why X, Y, and Z. And that, you know, that came up with a few proposals, but it was in the minority. And I think that happens when we get rushed and feel like we've got to describe the proposals. And so it may be that we need a better set of questions when we look at the proposals than what we've been using. Otherwise, you're right, we're rubber stamping it. And I guess the other thing is, we've never not funded Beyond Blue, as an example, or Promise Healthcare, or Early Head Start Emotional Supports. We talked in the past about using our time better by having some things go into a two-year funding cycle if there weren't concerns, or major increases. It's a lot to talk about 60 proposals or 40 proposals, whatever the number may be. And, you know, we kicked out the idea of having some proposals being reviewed only every other year because of concerns that we weren't being proactive enough. But I think that if we want to focus our attention, there are some proposals that don't need to really come to the forefront on an annual basis that have a history of funding and a history of performance that aren't asking for significantly different funds or projecting significantly different activities. And that could almost be a staff screen of... So I will agree, we spend a lot of time, and it didn't feel like it was as functional this year.
So that's, if I may, that's consistent with what I'm feeling, and it seems like a reasonable suggestion that you're making. My sense about that is that we could leave the staff to tell us if they think there's a need to talk about a program that we've consistently funded and we've consistently said good things about. And if they think that, well, we ought to talk about this time, or any member could, of course, bring it up as well. But in general, it would seem to me the state most, we get a lot of information from the staff, and they really know what's going on. So at least I would feel comfortable if they were making that suggestion, and that we could reduce the total number. I'd rather have us spend our time than talking about the ones that the staff thinks we should talk about. So I don't mind. I would, in fact, maybe we could just ask the staff to sort them and say there's two piles. There's the ones you think we should talk about and the ones you think we don't need to talk about. But we could also impose ourselves on that, right? Any one of us could say, oh, no, I think we better talk about that one. I think that's probably an essential thing. I don't know. Lynn was grimacing, so... I don't know. I think you ought to say what you think about that.
I was just thinking about this means we have to read them right away. So, I mean, you know how voluminous they are. So it's kind of, they're submitted February 8th, I mean, if we don't change anything else about the timeline, but we do that, we just sit down and read them. We don't try to do the program summaries or even the template for that. We just read them and have a discussion internally in order to, so we've sort of made a commitment to immediately tell you what the applications were. We could do that, and then maybe a week or 2 weeks later tell you which ones we think are need a reviewer. Is that what you mean?
Well, as I said, I'm not sure what I mean, but I think we're talking about possible ways to deal with what I think is the problem, and one thing it would do for you'd reduce your workload, by not needing to give us a long summary of every detail for every program. If we're not going to talk about it, then we don't have to do it.
We'll probably give you the long summary anyway, but we have to read them all eventually anyway. So it's just a question of reorganizing our work.
The other thing that I would add to this, which may or may not be feasible, but you get these reports from the second thing that I feel uncomfortable about, besides feeling like we do a lot of work that doesn't necessarily change what the end product is that I still have no good feeling, except for the program that I might happen to know something about or have. But overall, in general, I don't feel like I actually know if funding this thing is making any difference. Now, that's a hard thing to determine. I realize that. But I feel like we never really talk about that. And it's hard to talk about, partly because we can only do it in public. And therefore, by simply raising it, you scare everybody, and everybody gets upset at us, you know, and so on. But I wish we had some way. And one possible thing is you telling me, I think if I understand, you're getting periodic reports along the way. Maybe we should get look at them too. Maybe you should tell us, oh, this one's looking like I might be worried about this or that. Maybe this one's not. I mean, the easiest thing is when we know that they're not serving enough people relative to what they said they were going to do. But that doesn't excite me very much. I wish we had a better way to make some qualitative assessment. Not necessarily to stop funding a program, but to give them feedback and work with them on, well, how could they do it better? You know, I just feel like that would be a better use of our time.
Go ahead.
That is what we do with the reports. So what would it look like for you in a board packet? How would you want to see that work reported? Because that's what we do with those reports.
I'm going to turn to other people because
okay.
I'm a terrible
okay.
administrator.
Because I think Mark tries to point out problems in his staff report that we discover in those reports, and we could amplify that. And then there's another possibility. This is a paper user, but the DD board sees all of those the service activity reports in their board packets, and that's really straightforward. They don't see the financial reports, but they do see all the service activity reports. No, just for information. And that's easy. It's just paper.
So one of the things you mentioned, Julian, is, and I think it makes sense if you think about you, the staff knows through those reports who's meeting their requirements, who are following their grant, giving data, and so those could be the grants that we don't follow through, and we don't spend as much time reviewing. We're going to follow through and review, but we don't spend as much time. That's like similar to Susan saying that we do the two-year plan on it, because we know consistently through reporting, they're doing what they need to do.
Unless there's some problem that
yeah.
comes up.
Then, and then it comes up.
No, it's not 2 years guaranteed.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
It's like we're yeah. anticipating not doing
as much, spending as much time on it yeah, for the review process.
I mean,
Tom?
I think for me, my frustration is with Susan, there's three packages over there. And they're chock full of stuff. And for me, my frustration is the last one that comes at the end, the orange one, I think, is with the answer, the questions and answers to it, yeah. And as you pointed out, sometimes it's a whole new. My frustration is in that gray book, at the end of that gray book, it says how we're going to allocate our funds. That's already said. So I don't get the purpose of asking these, having those questions in a booklet given to me to read, other than if I want to know something. But it's not going. It doesn't appear as though that affects the outcome of how the awards are made. So my frustration was reading those, and at the end, and then coming to a meeting, so what? What do I do with those? I've read this stuff. And it says that they answered all my questions. Now I'm asked, so what? Because it's already been decided. And I don't want to take out of the hands of the staff that decision. I have no interest in doing none whatsoever. And I don't devalue their work in that. And I like it that they've already done. Mine is the frustration of there's too many packages. And for me, it's too much work, and the last package doesn't do any good for me. I could just as well have done without it. That's all that that's my only comment about this process.
I just want to say that the answers to the questions this year were not really answers to the questions. It was selling their agencies again. And you're right, it took a lot of time to find any depth in the answers to those questions. And then this is just how I think. I just have a question. I always feel like when I review, I look at everything different than most everybody else. I'd like to discuss what do we want to report that's going to be beneficial to everybody, because just reporting on what the application is doesn't get it for me. It doesn't answer any question. So when we went to approve all the applications, there was no discussion, because I don't think that we could figure out if there was a simple question. And that's, I mean, I really feel that very strong about that. And I agree with Julian. I would like to know if there is a positive or a negative with an agency. It doesn't have to be negative, but if there's a positive with an agency, why aren't we looking at how that agency could, as we always talk about, consolidate and make it stronger if it's going to serve the people in our community better?
I think, Kyle, you were next. Huh? You had raised your hand a little bit ago.
I only remember.
Okay. All right. Comment. Jane? Yeah.
So I'm going to go back a little bit to, I think, Julian. So I agree with you, but let me be devil's advocate on a couple of things. It is beneficial to a new person to have went through all those proposals. So if next spring we're the same nine people, then maybe that's okay. But if there's any changes, that new person really needs to know what they're funding, what they're saying, yes, this is my vote. So that's just a thought. And part of that is so we don't become that rubber stamp thing. If I don't know what I'm funding, then I've just rubber stamped something. You know, kind of the idea of, you know, I agree. You know, we ask these questions, then here's what we're approving, and there was really no discussion. Again, my point of view, that's on the nine of us. We should have said stop. I want to talk about this. So, you know, if we have a concern, we need to bring that up. If we had a concern, can we defer a decision to the next meeting? Is that so? That would have been a possibility if there was a lot of discussions that we could have. Okay, so we could have deferred if needed. And I don't know. I mean, obviously, it's fantastic we have so many applications, but do we need to limit how many we accept? You know, do we say we only take the first 45 that are sent in? Or, I mean, I don't know. You know, again, I know there's some agencies who have multiple proposals. You know, do we limit that? Or do we say, hey, here's, you know, four different things that Rosecrans wants to work on? You know, I don't know if that would help consolidate some things too. So just a couple of thoughts.
Kyle?
Why not? I guess I definitely hear where you're coming from, Julian. Like this year, I don't think we amended anything from the recommendations to what we approved.
We amended the money.
Which one?
We amended first followers, for example. And
we made some other changes.
Well, and I think some minds were changed on a couple of them.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, in the past, I mean, I think every year I've done this, I know my first year, I think first followers we amended again and funded more. So, I mean, we can say we're going to just deny everything from Rosecrans. I mean, sorry, this doesn't singly out, just an example.
Glad you came to the meeting.
hypothetically, I mean, that's our power. But, I mean, I think that, like, the way I see it is, cause like you say, we go through this process and we go through the energy of it, and what's the point if you don't change anything? You know, every time I get in my car, I put on a seatbelt. I go through the energy and effort to put on a seatbelt. I've never been in a car accident in my life. But I do it every time, you know, because you have to do the due diligence. And I think that's what we sort of do. And the way I see it is, you know, we're a very, very part-time board. And the way that we are allocating the taxpayers' dollars is that we are a board that's appointed by a democratically elected official, and we serve as like the democratic touch to this board while we have professional staff that does that due diligence. And I think it's up to us to sort of be more of a voice of ideology and what we want to pursue as a vision. And while it's their job to go through the due diligence and make sure that the applications are sufficient. Like you said, the only time I think I've seen an application denied is because they didn't, the UCP one, which they didn't have all of the required documents. And the reality is that we don't have a lot of competition. I was at my day job, we had to allocate grants this year, and we gave out, I think it was like a little bit over $200,000, and we had over $850,000 worth of requests, and it sucked. It was like, you know, it made me realize how easy we have it here, that we don't have to, you know, break everybody's heart. But that's just the reality, I think, that as far as how many programs are out there willing to ask for money and how much money we have to give out, we don't see a lot of competition. I think that, you know, we have some quality programs. So, I mean, if we had something bad that came up, you know, we have every ability to say, no, we don't like that. We don't think this board should fund that. That doesn't fit our philosophy. But I just don't think it's not too exciting, controversial times at the mental health board, I guess.
Julian?
So I don't disagree with what you're saying, actually. It's consistent with what I think, in that I think what I'm arguing is that we spend too much time not acting like a policy board, but acting like a staff, going through the details of each program in that way, and that it doesn't really change anything. I think we're in too much into the nitty-gritty if you view us as a policy group. So, I mean, one way to deal with that, and it also would deal with Tom's question, I think what you're saying about how we allocate money. We could allocate money, for example, we could have opinions about how much of our funds ought to go to particular sectors as opposed to individual programs, and then look at them within sector. And, you know, we could deal with Susan's question. Instead of by individual, we could decide, you know, this night we're going to talk about this subset of programs, and then we could talk about that and talk about them together. And then there'd be some continuity. And so maybe there's four or five different subsets. I don't know how many, but whatever the right number is. And then the policy group, if we're a policy board, then we should decide, well, we have X amount of dollars, and the way we want to allocate those can be by domain or by area or by, you know, but rather than, and then rely on the staff, which I think we do anyway, to look at the individual programs that are doing what they say they want to do and bringing to our attention what needs to be brought to our attention. But it seems to me that we're operating, but the way we're doing this review process is not consistent with what you're suggesting the board should be about. And that's part of, I mean, I didn't have the words for it before to say it quite that way. And I think it's part of what Tom's question is. Well, he gets this thing at the end, and it doesn't really, and it doesn't translate to me. I mean, I don't know where those numbers come from. Those numbers don't reflect our discussion. They do reflect our discussion in terms of maybe a little movement up and back, but they really are predicted by what they ask for. So maybe we should be more proactive in setting policy for, and then let the work details get worked out. I'll stop.
It's okay. Susan?
Well, I agree and I disagree. And that is when Lynn develops and staff develop the priority document, and they lay out the percentage of funds that have gone to system of care or criminal justice or whatever, we actually have the percentages. We do see, Now, we haven't talked about, do we like those percentages? And that's something we could start talking about even now. It doesn't have to be after we've looked at the applications. It could be very much a prospective kind of discussion. Are we putting enough funding into certain efforts in our community? Are we putting enough funding into early childhood or into summer diversion programs for youth? And I think that would be really good. I do want to say, of course, we can amend the review process. I don't think anybody would argue with that. We could make it more tolerable. But I'll remind you why we went to the review process 3 years ago, and that is because under a prior administration, we didn't review anything unless we somehow managed to get into the files to review. And everything was decided and presented to us. And once when I argued with the chair of the board, afterwards the chair came up to me and said, that's not your job to disagree. We've already made our decision. And I said, then why am I on the board? So, you know, I don't think the board did bad things under prior administrations, but there wasn't much engagement. So we may have, you know, over-engaged as we tried to understand what it is that we're funding. And we can always moderate that level of engagement. And I do think that we can have those ideological, philosophical conversations in advance on where do we want to put our funding. And I think that the agencies might like to know what are really our priorities, more so than what often seems to me when I get the packet in November, a reiteration of almost the same priorities from the year before. And I that's not an insult, it's just I don't see much difference. And, you know, we are, what are we, in year one of a new three-year plan? So maybe we need to pause and say, do we like our three-year plan? Does it make sense? And are we putting the money behind what we said was important when we put together the three-year plan last year? And I think we sometimes forget that we've been through a process and we have to remind ourselves, and maybe we need to revisit that process. So revisit the process of how we prospectively think we're going to fund certain categories. Revisit the plan. Is it capturing what we think is still critical in our community? Things can change really fast in a year. Gun violence certainly took a huge swath of attention this year because it was worse than it's been in prior years. That's it.
Tom?
My concern is simply about the review process. I don't want to take anything away from what the staff does, and the way they allocate funds is fine with me, mainly because I believe that they know a heck of a lot about these programs and the needs of the community. And even when I don't always agree with them, I don't know if any of you have seen Amadeus, the movie. And Amadeus does a new, what is it, opera, gives it to the king. King calls him in and says, you know what, I don't like this. Oh, Amadeus says, you don't like it? Says, what don't you like? He said, yeah. There are too many notes. So Amadeus says, yeah, I agree with you. Which note you want me to take out? And that's what I feel about the level of information that the staff has that I don't have. Which notes would I want to take out? I have no idea. I could tell you that, but I don't think it wouldn't make the ARIA any better than what it already is. As a matter of fact, it would probably destroy it. I've seen them over the years wrestle with how do you fund these different programs, and I've always been impressed with how they come up with those final numbers. There was some other thing that I had that I wanted to say in favor of. Oh, I know what it is. Yes, we have increased the amount of money that we're given for. At the time, it was called criminal justice. And I've had this conversation with Mark years ago before any of you were on the board, because it just jumped up. I had the same conversation with Lynn. Remember, Boys and Girls Club used to get enough money that they could buy the city. And we talked about those things. And it's not that Mark or Lynn were unfamiliar with that. They just had a way of knowing what programs should be funded and how they should be funded and how much, that there's no way that I'm ever going to know about. I just want to make this a less painful evaluation. That's all my concern is. That's all that I have.
Comments? Julian?
So, let me be clear about this. I don't particularly want the staff to change what they're doing about how they're handling the submissions and keeping on top of them and knowing what they're doing. And they do a tremendous job of that. I'm just feeling like we've wasted a lot of time reviewing it. And we would be better off operating at a more global level. Part of it has to do with what Susan said a minute ago. And I was on the board, and you're correct that we did not go through the details of any of those programs. But we did have policy discussions. And when new people, I don't remember who else joined when you joined, but when you joined the board, you had a legitimate question, and maybe it's the same one that Jane was just expressing. Well, I'm new here. I don't quite know what it is that we're funding. I want to know more about it. And I think what we did was overcompensate. We did it, I think we're way too much that direction. And maybe we do need, we're always going to have new members. We may need to have some way that new members can be informed without going through this, what I think is a pretty painful process given the amount of influence it has. But where I saw us have influence is what Tom just mentioned. Now, you know, I was on, before I joined this board, I was on the county board appointed, I forget what it was called, committee to look at alternatives to building a new jail. And by the time I got done helping write that report and listen to what the consultant they also brought in, I had some pretty strong feelings that the mental health board was not paying enough attention to the problem of mental health issues in our criminal justice system. And we had a big discussion of that. We didn't talk about any particular program, but we talked about that as a policy matter. And everybody kind of agreed, and the then executive director started pushing at providers to develop and offer things that meet that need. I thought that was one of the most effective times I saw the board operate, but it was at the policy level. We weren't picking programs. I mean, we did ultimately have to pick a program, but it was a discussion of policy. I'm kind of feeling like that's the level at which we operate the best. I think I'm saying what Kyle was expressing, that we're a policy group. It doesn't mean we cannot have opinions about specific programs. But like Tom, I rely largely on the staff anyway, even though I have lots of strong opinions about, I think we fund some things that if it was just up to me, I don't think we ought to spend our money on. And I have other things that I'd like to see, but I don't want to argue it at that level. I think it's more sensible for us to argue at the policy level. I mean, I've heard some people say that maybe we've now spent too much on putting our resources into the criminal justice system. Maybe we ought to have, I mean, that would be a conversation that I think we could profitably have. I'm just using that one as an example, though. We've often had talk about don't we think that, you know, the last time we were here, we were discussing Cunningham's proposal, and we had a lot of thoughts about all the things that could or should be done with respect to young people. That's not going to end up going anywhere if we don't have a policy about how we want to spend their money with respect to young people. What we'll do is they'll propose something, and we'll either like it or not like it, and maybe that's fine, but I don't think we would be exercising our... I would like to see us tell people who want to get money from the Mental Health Board, deal with this problem and see what they... And I don't want to tell them how to do it, but if they have ideas about it, I'd like to hear them, which is a little bit different than us being so passive at the level of policy. So anyway, that's sort of... I keep coming back on it. I don't think there's a simple solution. I think what this is maybe what, again, I think maybe what you were suggesting, Susan, a kind of, well, we should have a continuous evaluation of our own process. And so I think maybe that's what we're doing. And it's not so much that what we settle on for the next 2 years is going to be the final solution, as much as, well, maybe that'll make sense for the next couple of years. And maybe we ought to recognize that we could change our own processes, as long as we don't drive the agencies crazy, right? But we wouldn't if we're relying on our staff, I suppose.
So, my 3 pages of notes can't go over them all. But so really, we're talking about 2 issues here: policies. How do we look at policies? I think your point on seeing the problems and then saying, why aren't we addressing this through our grant system, is very important, to be discussing what we want to see grantees to bring to us, ideas and ways to change it. And then the other thing is, how can we look at the proposals in a more concise way? Because I think it's of value for us to look at them. I think Susan's point was very well taken, and I guess I take responsibility for not directing that like I needed to, is that when we review, to look at serious questions. I think we've made some big decisions on this board by looking at, logic's an example, how do we ask serious questions about some of the programs, the other programs, the staff. They do know what we need and continuing funding. So what I'm kind of condensing tonight is to think about, how do we continue a review process but simplify it? So it is essentially, we can all stay on task but make a difference too by asking those important questions. And I think one of the things I wrote is to limit, for example, when they sent the questions back, they did write new grants to limit. Answer the question. You know, how do we say that?
I think we all agree on that.
Yeah,
by the way.
Yeah. The other thing is to think about how, and I would like the staff to, I'm kind of pushing this on back on the staff, but to think about, with all the ideas brought forward tonight, how do we condense it but still have a valid process? And your point earlier, Julian, I think is essential, is people say they're doing things, and how can we find a way to look at reports like, are you really doing what you're saying you're doing, and is it making a measurable difference? Which is very difficult in the mental health field to show that. So I would like to think about where do we go from here? Tom?
I think that you outlined that there's more than one issue going on at the table today. But for me, still, all I'm interested in is that third book has no value to me. It takes up time, and it doesn't result in anything in what we're doing. Now, for people who want to know more about the agency, it's packed full of information. But at that point, I was not interested in more. I wanted to get the process over with. So I think there's a third, for me, it's just a third point of make the process simple. That's all I want, and make it useful. That's all I'm asking. So that's different than the other two that you...
Elaine?
I was just wondering if it would be possible every time when we really ask questions of agencies is when they have a little presentation. And we might, and I've always learned from that, we'll have to remember that the reason we went to the written questions is because we had the agencies here, and that just expanded into hours and hours and hours, and then some people took too much time, and others didn't speak as well, and then the playing field wasn't level. So the written questions, as I remember, were an effort to save time and to level the playing field. So I had said earlier to Lynn and Susan, it'd be nice to get those questions handled earlier in the year. And so maybe one thing we can think about is, and of course there again, it's time and how many meetings do we want to have, but some way of maybe targeting agencies that we want to hear more from during the year and let them give a presentation. I know we've done that with new ones, but that might be a way. And not give them the whole hour or anything, but, you know, just some way of getting our questions answered earlier.
Thank you, Elaine. I agree. I think the presentations that have been very helpful in understanding of what agencies are doing. Any other comments? So next steps. Comments on next steps. So I think one of the things that I'm seeing is to, everybody agrees that this seems to agree, and we all agree, the staff does an amazing job, and to go back to them now and say, based on Lynn has a lot more notes than I do, but how can we simplify the process? How can we see reports on the agencies as they come in mid-year when there, I know Mark does put that in his notes, when there is a concern and how they're addressing it, but also for us to look at that. And then also to take a separate look at policies, like you mentioned.
All of the agency reports, all of them, including the financial report, everything is submitted to that online system. So you can actually look at anything you want to. You can also look at what we're spending money on throughout the year. That isn't updated right now because I realized that no one had ever used it, and it actually duplicates Chris's work, so it's, you know, it just didn't make sense from a time perspective, but there's a lot of information there. It's not an easy system to navigate, so, you know, I would like to make it better, but we're spending $12,000 a year on that instead of $200,000, which is what United Way spends on their similar system, which is very readable. So we're kind of, you know, if you want to have that kind of access and really use it, we could work on making that a little bit better? No. Okay. So then underneath that, a couple of things. We really do try to point out problems. We may not be saying minus, you know, or like a big old F to this agency. We're kind of trying to positively frame things like that in the staff reports. And we also created some specific contract requirements around known problems. So that was part of that, the different format for your decision memo. The other thing is you do regularly review the three-year plans. That's a September and October or September and November activity, depending on how deep it gets. And then the funding priorities. And one discussion that we've had as a staff is giving you a little bit earlier to work on the funding priorities so that we could maybe have that finalized earlier, so that if you want to change the timing of the application process, we would have the option to do that. There's like, you know, 21 days of public notice are required. There's some there's a lot of instructions that need to be updated in the system itself. So, but nothing happens until the funding priorities are determined. And that is something that you all are very interested in. So if it's helpful to you for us to push that a little earlier, we can move that up in your schedule. But I also think it sounds like it's helpful for you to have more time to talk about it.
Susan.
So I'm sitting here and thinking about next steps and the policy issues that I think Julian very appropriately raised. Sometimes we do get too busy with program presentations and the minutiae that goes with lots of the approval processes that we have, from minutes to accounting, et cetera. Due diligence, yes. But what if we took our September meeting and instead of just having, you know, again, the 9 pages of the 3-year plan and the priorities and the overarching priorities and the recommended topic areas. I mean, we do get those, but really talk about the topic areas. So, you know, this year we had behavioral health supports for people with justice involvement. And then we had systems of care, and then we had innovative practices and access to behavioral health services, and then we had the fourth one, which is our collaboration with the DD board. Those are from the 3-year plan. It would be really nice if in September we talked about what are we getting for behavioral health supports for people with justice involvement. What are we missing? What are we getting? What are we missing? And not talking about the individual programs funded, but talking about what we think is happening in the community because these programs are funded. That starts to get at the policy issue and the gaps. And maybe we even at some point can entertain a panel from the community that would tell us what they think is missing if we're missing the boat ourselves. And, you know, we haven't done that for a while. And that would be good.
I'm with you on this. I think that's the kind of thing we should be doing. I hope we do it. That's. I just agree with what you just said.
Yeah, I mean, we had really short meetings usually in September and October, and it was a relief after having July and August off and the long meetings in May and June. But, you know, let's rethink how we do September and have it be an opportunity to take each of those 4 targeted areas that we funded this past year and just say, okay, so we funded this area, what have we got? And it's not a recitation of the 12 programs funded in that area, but what are the actions that are happening in our community because of those programs that were funded? Now, that would involve staff work, and it would maybe involve some of the agencies.
Maybe. I'm not exactly sure, what it would involve, but I do think that it seems like that's where we should spend our time. Right, my reaction to those documents, which are the plan and the, they're so abstracted from reality that I don't even know how to think about them.
Right,
they're
right.
Just words out there that sound, mm-hmm. You know, that I'd rather discuss. I'm not saying can't have them. I'm just saying they don't.
We've always approved them, but we haven't really talked about. So what does that mean in our community?
Well, these discussions would lead us to change those documents, which would, if you start those discussions in September, then we're going to be pushing those documents later in the year, which is fine.
Maybe we're changing it for the following year.
Well, I think that this sounds like what you've all been headed for. So
instead of 2020.
Would love to try to support that right now. I just want to, it's kind of the opposite of what we were thinking. Like we would, you know, we can hold on the priorities document until you've had these conversations. You actually have a presentation in July about crisis response system, which I know that's, you've been trying to fund that and it's sort of an incomplete set of services. So maybe that's like what you're talking about and we just carefully bring you those kind of presentations every month, in the major areas and then lead us to a different priorities document, a different three-year plan for you?
Tom?
To Susan's point of looking at those four areas and then ask the question, what have we gotten from how we've allocated our funds? I guess I would add, before we ask that question, is why that area? Did something happen? Did we learn something about our community that says we need to be putting our money here? And I don't necessarily think we always do that. When I do know that when we did the system of care, the reason we have the system of care, there was a big study about how we should use our funds. And we brought in consultants and people talked to us. Peter visited places and came up with the idea, you know, we ought to engage in what we're calling a system of care. And people around the nation were adopting that. So it made sense that we would do that system of care. And then the other question is, what goes into the system of care? For me, then the what have we got comes after we determine why do we pick that particular area. Like, why are we so invested in the criminal justice system? And then we could say, well, have we reached, maybe it's time to get out of the criminal justice system. I have no idea. But to ask the question, why do we do that in the first place? And that we don't have that.
And I think.
How do we know that that a particular area is worth us paying attention to and funding? Why? How do we know that? And it's not that I disagree with how the staff comes up with that. But we don't have that kind of.
And I think to add to Susan's point too is to have people not just from the agencies that we fund, but to have the hospitals who deal with this, police. Who deal with this, and then asking them, you know, what's their vision? Are we making a difference? What would they see as very important? So to add to that. And so we have, I don't think we're going to solve this tonight. But I do think we've started a great dialogue on it. I think there are some concrete things that the staff can do to help us simplify the process and then to move forward into looking at our policies and who we fund. So I would appreciate if you have other comments to send them to Lynn and copy me on it, and then we'll start to work on a plan for how we can incorporate these things. Judy?
I just have a question. Some of these agencies, since I've been on the board, we have funded year after year. Which, as I read the applications, I don't see that their format has changed a great deal on their services. When you make a recommendation that we fund that program, do you ever think about, have we come to a standstill and ask the agency to... Do you ever evaluate what they're doing? I guess I'm asking. Because and so there's never an agency that you think would not continue with? I mean, I'm just asking. Not that I think there's any, but I'm just curious.
I sent you all an email couple months ago with about 6 years of history maybe of things we haven't funded. It's only in the last couple of years that we've been able to fund a lot. That's partly because I've reduced our administrative costs quite a bit. We've also had unusually high increases in the fund. And at the same time, social services, especially in central Illinois, have been losing capacity. This county has been identified as one that where you can't hire providers. People to do the work. So some large providers won't even come here because you can make more money selling shoes than you can with the highly credentialed and highly, you know, overseen work. So this county, not Vermilion, this one, people don't even want to come here to do this work now. So I think that we're in a space where we have, I'm just grateful that anybody's left standing to apply, and the services are important. I mean, I get what you're saying. Things do change, but I think we're trying to work with agencies as things develop. Like, don't do that anymore. Do this. And a whole lot of that comes from you all, but it doesn't. It's not staged in front of you at public meetings. It's done by us with your influence. And so some of those changes, you might not be noticing those changes, but there are substantial changes in the contracts. They're just kind of, they're in the requirements or special provisions or a shift. And the priorities themselves are actually based on the operating environment. I mean, we do a lot of research on the operating environment. We're in all sorts of collaborative meetings, talking with hospitals and police all the time. So I try to bring you those. I mean, you could go to all those meetings, or we could try to have all those people come here and provide input, but that is one, I thought that was my proper role, to bring you what we understand of what the community needs. So maybe we're just not being really obvious about when we find a problem and we pluck it. I mean, we're just in the middle of that stuff this week. And I'd rather take your concerns and work with them. So I think, you know, maybe we do need to do things a little bit differently so that you can see the impact of your concerns and your ideas, because it's real. It's just not, maybe the feedback loop is not completed.
I think one of the really important things to leave with tonight is, though, you all, your staff is amazing, and we know how hard you work. And I think when we come together with different ideas, that in no way is it a criticism or a critique of what you're doing. You have just done amazing things within the past time. So
I don't know really if we can do all of the things. Mm-hmm. Oh, there are a lot of great ideas tonight. I'm not sure how we can do all of that, but I think that I understand, I think. Mm-hmm. And so that's a start.
But I think it's important for you for the staff to know how we just, if you think about it, it about did everybody in for reviewing all the grants, and then to think of all that you do and the reports and working with the agency. So I want to make that really clear that what you do is very important, and I think we're just trying to, it's kind of growing pains for our board to think about what our role is and how we can morph to help you better. Any other comments, Julie?
Just to Lynn, I don't want you to just. Sometimes what you do is listen to us, and then you do something. Don't do something, because we don't know yet what we want you to do. So don't overread us. That's all. We're just thinking out loud right now. So don't jump too fast in the process. We're just trying to figure out, and I think we will figure out. And it doesn't have to be instantaneous. And I, you know, think of, it's a process. It's an ongoing process, and we're figuring it out. And anyway, all I'm saying is don't spend a lot, don't suddenly change everything just because we had this conversation. We'll let you know what to change when we agree.
Suggestions of what we should do starting in September. We could even start in July. I mean, it's really soon. But that was pretty specific, and it seemed to resonate with most of you. So
I'm saying don't do anything yet.
But
you could, if you want to.
But it's already.
You could write a memo back to us and say, here's what I think you said.
Okay, maybe I should
useful.
Do that. But this.
But don't change anything yet.
But
we
your schedule already addresses some of this stuff. I think we could just address it more, like tailor it more to what you've just told me. I do think we can do something, but okay, I'll do that.
All right, Tom.
I mean, I'm not the boss, so you can do whatever you want. Lynn, or whatever everybody else thinks you should.
Lynn, I think one thing that Junior is suggesting is you took notes tonight. You have a look, can I see what you have for your notes? That's okay. Okay, now here's the suggestion. Take those notes, go back to your office and get a file folder, put them in a file folder, and then on the index just say meeting for June, whatever today is, and put them in the file. Put them in the file. Put them in the file.
You don't want her to even tell us what we said.
Yes, you can.
All right, I'll
just put them in
all
the
right.
file.
All right.
I think we've exhausted our options for tonight, so can I have a well, I don't need a motion to adjourn, do I? All right. Oh, yes.
Okay, I'm going to actually turn it to Lynn. She forgot to remind the board how Lynn and myself and her entire staff, I spent one day with them, and I think they were there 2 days, at a conference, but I can't remember what it's called.
ACMI, the State Association.
And I found it to be very useful. I mean, I know not everyone can take a whole day and hang out learning stuff, but it was very, it was good for me. Obviously, I'm kind of a geek when it comes to stuff like this. And, you know, Lynn just made the comment about how people can go and sell shoes and make more money than being a social worker. And when I came to the crossroads of deciding, will I accept a position at General Mills, I said, yes, I will, because I was going to make more money and have more benefits than if I would have went back to school and finished my social work degree. So it's a reality. I mean, I'm young enough. I could still put 20 years in as a social worker. And I'm sorry. I went where the money was and the benefits. So, all right. But it was good. I'm glad that we support that. And it was very enlightening for me.
Okay, our meeting is adjourned. Thank you, everyone. Hey, there's cookies over there.